Welcome to My Weekly Mixtape, a podcast that takes the classic mixtape approach to building a modern playlist. I'm your host, Brian Colburn. Joining me tonight as guest curator is Patreon mixtaper Tom Hutchinson. Tom, welcome to the program, man.
Thank you very much, Brian. It is an absolute pleasure. I love this show. I listen to it all the time in the car, so this is an absolute pleasure for me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you, and now you get to answer the question that I ask all of my first-time guests, and that is, Tom, what does the word mixtape mean to you?
Oh, mixtape. So for me, it was mixed CDs. It was going to the library, using their library's computer to download LimeWire and burn as many CDs as I could. But when you think of mixtape, it also brings me back to riding in my dad's pickup truck and grabbing all the tapes out of the glove box and just shoving them in. And whatever played, because nothing was labeled, and it was always a good time, and it was almost always heavy metal, no matter what it was.
All right. I love it. And, you know, you only minorly incriminated yourself with the library stuff. We'll just let that slide.
I was going to say, my mom worked at the library. She would take me to sit there, and I would just burn CDs all day long while I waited for her to be off her shift. So,
well, I'm going to be perfectly honest. Tonight is a first on My Weekly Mixtape as we are diving into the world of video game soundtracks with the extremely popular Tony Hawk's Pro Skater series. Now, the honesty part here, I have to make a confession. I have never played any of the Tony Hawk games. However, I have friends who have, and I'm very familiar with the soundtracks and the music. So the first thing I want to do, Tom, is thank you for bringing a video game topic to the table, because I have received a lot of requests for these in the past, and I'm always responding to them like, sure. And in my brain, I'm going, you've played Tetris and Tekken. Any button mashers you can think of is basically like, my video game knowledge is so 101, it's ridiculous. So I'd like to ask you, why did you choose the Tony Hawk series for tonight's topic?
So for me, Tony Hawk was one of those things that, you know, as a kid, I liked the skateboard and I got super into the X Games. And I was right at that age, about 6-7 years old, when Tony Hawk started getting popular. I mean, he was doing Bagel Bites commercials. He was on TV constantly for everything other than skateboarding. And it was one of the first game series I actually got. So I got a PlayStation given to me by my cousin when he got his first Xbox. And one of the first games I had with it was Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3. And not having a lot of money growing up, my mom was like, you have three games, play them as much as you can. And it got burned into my mind. And when I started growing up, they were making Tony Hawk games every year. So you just buy the new game every year. And it was always something different, something unique. And it stuck with me, you know, and the soundtracks for Tony Hawk games were what's opened me up to my music now. I mean, a lot of 80s California punk stuff. So Dead Kennedys, Black Flag, Circle Jerks all came through those games. That's how I found out about them. It's how I found out about Slayer and even like the Pixies and some of these alternative artists that I've come to love is due to this game's soundtrack over the years. It was always advancing and it always had something that would catch my eye.
Love it. Like I said, never played the games, but my buddies did. And I've always, when we were hanging out back in the day, they would have it on and the songs would be playing. And I would start chiming in with my music nerddom over their game, which sometimes they didn't appreciate, but sometimes they did, especially like, yo, what's that one again? That was where my Tony Hawk skills came into play. I even own the American Wasteland soundtrack on CD. For those of you that don't know, that soundtrack came out in the 2000s, and it is chock full of punk cover songs, which even if you're not a fan of the video game, this soundtrack was just worth owning because it's got some classics on it. So while I can't offer any commentary on the actual game tonight, I'm going to leave that up to you, Tom, and I'll do my best to keep up with you on the musical side of the spectrum.
That is fair enough with me, and you are right, that American Wasteland CD, it's one of the best cover CDs I have heard. The only thing that tops it for me is the 4 Year Strong cover CD that they did of all the 90s and 2000s and did a pop punk cover.
Oh my God, That is a killer album.
It is one of my favorite albums to this day. And I hate to say it, their cover of So Much for the Afterglow is better than Everclear's.
Ooh, I like that take. To me, Ironic is the go-to track on that album, because the first time I heard it, I'm going, how are they going to approach Alanis? Like, what are they going to do here? And in the beginning, I'm going, are they taking this seriously? Or it sounds like they're kidding. And then when it kicked into that first chorus, pin that pedal to the metal, go 100 miles an hour. And that's one of my favorite songs to work out to. I love it. Oh,
it's so good. And that album, it had, I mean, even the She's So High cover that they did was absolutely incredible. Like I said, it's my favorite covers album, and The American Wasteland is next to it. I mean, both are fantastic records.
Well, let's get down to Tony Hawk business. Tonight, as I mentioned at the top of the show, Tom and I will be curating the ultimate Tony Hawk Pro Skater mixtape, and we'll use the old cassette deck approach. Maybe it'll be one that Tom will find in his car like he did growing up. Now, Tom, as my special guest, will begin side A with his first song choice, and then I'll add a song that I feel best follows up that choice. We'll then flip-flop choosing songs until we've mapped out 10 tracks for side A. We'll then give our mixtape a proverbial flip, and we'll map out side B. Only this time, I'll kick things off with Tom choosing second. Our overall goal for the episode is to craft the best Tony Hawk Pro Skater mixtape possible through only 20 songs. At the end of the show, you could take our conversation to the next level by visiting the episode page at myweeklymixtape.com to give our final mixtape a listen via the embedded playlist. And if you like what you're hearing on the show, you can help me out by either telling a friend, leaving the show a 5-star review wherever you're tuning in, or, like Tom, becoming a Patreon mixtaper at patreon.com/myweeklymixtape. And a few of the mixtapers chimed in with songs they would use to kick off a Tony Hawk Pro Skater mixtape, and I want to give a shout out to a few. Chad LaMassa chimed in with Anthrax and Public Enemies Bring the Noise, saying, full disclosure, like myself, he never played the games. Philip Bergman chimed in with Can I Kick It from A Tribe Called Quest, saying mixtape kickoffs and attention grabbers don't always have to start with both barrels blazing. Kind of like that approach.
And that is a good one to pick.
Yeah, right? Like, that would just be a jam to kick things off. David Owens chimed in with Power Man 5000's When Worlds Collide, and he also brought up the connections to WWE, which all I have to say about that is, stay tuned, David.
Oh, I can't wait for that. That one for me. I'm a big wrestling nut, too, so that, that could be good.
I have a few coals in the fire for that one right now. We'll see where that goes. Ben from the Too Vague podcast chimed in with Del the Funky Homo Sapiens, If You Must. And Tom Hutchinson chimed... Actually, wait, never mind. You're here in person.
I can't read that.
Hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has 3 pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house. And my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with 2 devices at once. New quick charge function, 3 customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Hey folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. We're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of scary guys, skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month. So just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the U.S.
Tom, with that musical food for thought out in the atmosphere, I'm officially pressing the record button on our mixtape and turning things over to you. Why don't you dive into the song you chose to kick off side A?
So this is a tough one for me. It's going to come down to a coin flip because there's two songs that I love to pick, and I'm going to roll with this coin flip here, and I know how I'm going to start. So starting it off, it's a song that was kind of burned into the 2000s, and even if you didn't play the Tony Hawk's Pro Skater games, you know this song, and that is 96 Quite Bitter Beings by CKY out of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3. If you watch Jackass, you heard this song. If you watch Bam Margera's CKY 2K tape, you know this song. If you watched MTV at all in the 2000s, you heard this song. And that riff to open the song will rip your face off. And it is a pedal to the metal, let's go type of start to this mixtape.
Love where you're going with this, Tom. Anybody who watches Jackass should be familiar with CKY. I feel like CKY, those videos they put out in the 90s, was kind of the humble beginnings of where Jackass went. And the music just speaks to that show's nature. And I can't, again, attest to how it would fit in with the game, but knowing the song and knowing the heft you're going with to kick things off, now I have the tough choice of how to follow that up. And I think I'm going to lean into the punk side of things a little bit. And you said the track that you chose was from
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3.
All right. I'm going to jump up one game and go to Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 4 and go with another song that, at least for me, was a big part of the 2000s. One of my favorite songs of the decade. And a band that I've gotten to see live many, many times, and every time I've seen them, it's blown me away. Flogging Molly from the 2002 album of the same name, the title track, Drunken Lullabies. My thought is, coming out of 96 Quite Bitter Beings, the song ends, and then you've got, and it just kicks into that punk vibe. And it's, yes, it's bringing that Irish style of punk into it, but I'm just picturing if this was a punk concert that we were at, my God, that second song, the roof would just explode. And it's just such an amazing track. Dave King, the lead singer of Flogging Molly, sang for Fastway in the 1980s. The 80s hair metal sound. If you listen to Fastway and then you follow it up with a Flogging Molly song, you might think I'm lying. But he is a ridiculous singer, and this is just a killer song. So Flogging Molly's Drunken Lullabies.
No, it's definitely one of my favorites. It's actually the first Flogging Molly song I heard. And I learned that whole Fastway bit from your podcast. I didn't know that ever. And I dug into it and I was like, no way. So my mind's been blown twice over that fact. It still cracks me up, but that's a awesome follow-up. But now I got to pick that up. And that's, you know, I want to stay in that punk vibe, and I have a lot of it on this list. Where do I want to go? Where do I want to go? All right. So I am going to stay in the punk realm, but I'm going to speed it up. And I'm going to go up to Tony Hawk's Proving Ground from 2007. And I am going to go with Banned in DC by the Bad Brains. Now, this album, this song is one of my personal favorites. It's fast. It's loud. It gets people going. And it has that same style of drive that Drunken Lullabies has, where everybody knows the song, and you can imagine yourself in a pit just pushing and shoving each other around and having a good time. And it really replicates the whole skate and destroy type of vibe. And that's what I'm going after. So, like I said, Band in DC by the Bad Brains.
I mean, you're going legendary punk here. Bad Brains, to me, are one of the most underrated punk bands maybe ever. They're so influential. They've done so much for the scene and inspired so many countless bands. I am so happy that they made the list tonight. Like, that is friggin' perfect. And what a 1-2-3 punch we have here. CKY, Flogging Molly, and Bad Brains. All right, I'm going to bring a little Jersey into this.
Okay, let's see what you got.
I'm going to stick with Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 4. I don't know why. Apparently, this might be one of the games I should probably start with, because a lot of the songs I picked came from 4. And I'm going to give a shout out to one of New Jersey's finest punk bands, the Bouncing Souls. And I'm going to go with Manthem off of 2001's How I Spent My Summer Vacation. This song, to me, it's fun and obnoxious punk, everybody screaming the oys over and over together. I could just feel me and my buddies together with our arms around each other, singing this chorus, just dancing, having a great time. This is just, it's literally what the song is about. It's about me and the boys, man, just having a night out. And it's so anthemic in its delivery. It takes that Dropkick Murphy style of just sing-along, except pulls the Irishness out of it and just injects that Jersey swagger. And I think that's why the Bouncing Souls are so iconic, to me at least, in punk rock, because they're not the quote-unquote Jersey Shore thing that the rest of the country thinks New Jersey's all about. The Bouncing Souls are what New Jersey's all about.
And it's such a great song. I mean, I played Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 4, love the game, and the soundtrack is probably the best one out of all the games. Like, to this day, it gets played very heavily in my Spotify playlist rotation, and Manthem is one of those songs that you just hear it, and it comes on, and you just want to sing with it, and you know all the words to it, and it just makes you feel alive, and it's a song that I've gotten to see them play live, and it is a blast to see it done.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn between Manthem and Argyle for my favorite Bouncing Souls track. It's really tough.
Both are very fantastic song, and it's just a fun band. Like, you just can't be in a bad mood listening to the Bouncing Souls.
No, I challenge anybody out there. Put on some Bouncing Souls and see if you could sulk through it.
All right, so we are going to go into the next song, and this is going to be a weird one because I'm debating how I want to do this, but I know where I want to go. And this is going to stay with probably my favorite band that I have, and that song would be Rise Above by Black Flag off the Tony Hawk's American Wasteland soundtrack. This is a band that I adore. You know, Henry Rollins is a fantastic person. Love to learn about him. But this song is one of those songs that you sing along with. It hits you in the face. It's fast. It's fun. And it comes right out of Manthem with the same sing-along type of beat. And just fun for everyone.
Man, we are pulling out iconic punk in this first half here. Black Flag, Henry Rollins. And I mean, this is probably a perfect song to encapsulate what Black Flag is to punk rock.
100%.
I can't compare it to what it is to the game, but to me, Bad Brains, Bouncing Souls, and Black Flag, that's just down and dirty punk the way it ought to be. Like, I love where this is heading right now.
It's a good start, and there's still a few more that I could pull out. Depending on how you go, we could make this a whole punk mixtape on the first side.
All right, let's do that then. If we're going to go, we're going with iconic punk here. I'm going to go off of Tony Hawk's Shred Game from their 2004 album, Sex, Love, and Rock and Roll, Reach for the Sky. Let's get some Social Distortion in there. Mike Ness, iconic frontman, iconic band. I can't say enough good things about Social Distortion. When I discovered them, it was their self-titled album with Ball and Chain. So I was quote unquote late to the party, but I was also only 11, 12 years old at the time. And Ball and Chain blew my mind because to me, it was different than anything that was being played on the radio and on MTV at the time. So I went out and got the album. And I would pretty much say that between The Misfits and Social Distortion, that was my earliest introductions into punk rock. And I don't think I could have gotten a better education. That self-titled album to me is a masterpiece. But then you fast forward all the way to 2004, Sex, Love, and Rock and Roll between Nickels and Dimes and Footprints on the Ceiling. And then this opening track, again, I'm a sucker for album openers, but Reach for the Sky, Social Distortion, Mike Ness at his finest.
Yeah, and Social Distortion is fantastic. The Ring of Fire cover is of the best out there. But the song that got my attention from Social Distortion was Far Behind.
Oh, yeah.
Great song, but it's later on in Social Distortion's, you know, discography. And people are like, oh, it's not really true Social Distortion. But I remember that song being played on alternative radio, the local station in Detroit, 89X. And it would come on and I'd be like, oh, my God, this is awesome. What is this? And I found out who Social Distortion was. And I did some digging and found out that like Blink-182 loved these guys. And I loved Blink-182 at the time. And I was like, I got to dive in. And you're right. That self-titled album, fantastic. The cover is burned into my mind. Everybody knows what it looks like. The Ball and Chain. God, Story of My Life. I mean, just fantastic music. And one of my favorite bands to just put on and put in the background. They don't disappoint.
And they're so iconic and so influential. Even bands like Real Big Fish. Real Big Fish has a ska cover of Story of My Life done in like the two-tone ska style. And believe it or not, it works real well. And they wouldn't have covered it if they weren't influenced and a fan of Social D. And yeah, iconic, iconic, iconic. This is a heavy-hitting punk side, man.
It is. And I'm about to turn it up to 11 with the next one. So this is a song off the first Tony Hawk's Pro Skater game and a song that surprised everybody that was on this game. And that would be Police Struck by the Dead Kennedys. That opening riff and just Jello's vocals just shredding into you and just listening to it. And everybody goes, oh, it's just, you know, it's a song. It's all about police corruption and just putting the man down. But it is so iconic, that opening riff.
Probably one of the most iconic Dead Kennedy riffs. I mean, they have so many, but it made the game for a reason. I feel like the songs that made this game are the, dare I use, creme de la creme for these bands because Tony Hawk came from this scene. This was the music that he enjoyed. I know that much about Tony Hawk, having not played the game, to know that these are songs that are important to him as a person. He wasn't just out there licensing any band to throw on there. This is diving deep into punk's history. And that shows that there was an admiration and a love for it. And that speaks volumes for why when people talk about video game soundtracks, why this series is one of the first ones to come up.
Oh, yeah. And I hate to say it, Dead Kennedys was all anti-establishment. They wanted to be that way. And they didn't license music almost ever. And if they did, Jello would slap them down and be like, we're not doing that. You know, I'm out of the band, but you're not going to do that with our music. And for this song to get licensed in the Tony Hawk series, strings were pulled. It was not easy for them to get this song put on this game. And it's a song that when I think of it, my brain automatically goes back to that first game. I mean, I even have the whole first game soundtrack on vinyl. That's how much I love this soundtrack. It's awesome.
Well, I'm going to follow up Police Struck with another amazing punk band covered by, for at least me in New Jersey, a local favorite because this band is from Long Island, New York, and cut their teeth in the tri-state area. And the band that they're covering came on the American Wasteland soundtrack, the one that I had mentioned at the top of the show I have on CD. And that band is one of my favorite punk bands growing up, The Descendents. I drew Milo on every single notebook that I had at school. When you used to have to wrap your books with the paper bags, I'd always make sure Milo was somewhere on it. And on the American Wasteland soundtrack, Taking Back Sunday did a medley of Suburban Home into I Like Food.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
This is just one of my favorite covers because Descendants are so fast, so furious, and so heavy. And Taking Back Sunday brought that energy, brought their style to it, upped the ampage just enough where it wasn't overboard, because you can't, the Descendants have a specific sound to their punk. And if you go too heavy, you might blow it out of the water. But Taking Back Sunday's cover of Suburban Home and I Like Food is right up there for me as Face to Face's cover of Bikage. Like, to me, those are your, if you're going to cover the Descendants, these are the crown jewels of Descendants covers. And God, I Like Food, so friggin' fun. Just puts a smile on my face every time I hear it. So Taking Back Sunday's medley of Suburban Home and I Like Food. Food tastes good.
Fantastic choice, Brian. I mean, Taking Back Sunday is one of my personal favorite bands. I mean, you can't say anything they did in the early 2000s was bad. And Descendants, another band that blew my mind when I got to see them live, and they still brought the energy, and they're old guys, and they're telling you they're old guys, and we're not moving like we are, and they still blew the doors off the place I saw them. So where are we at with songs? What number are we on? Is this 7 or is
this is
eight?
Track 9. We have one song each for side A.
We have blown this thing apart. This has gone quick. Let me go through my list here. Oh man, there's so many good songs, but I don't want to make a bad vibe out of this. You know, we're having fun. This is a punk mixtape. This is what you would hear at the skate park, what you would hear in any of these games, and any of these songs would catch your attention. All right, I know where I'm going to go on this. Another punk band, not their most well-known song, but my personal favorite. And that would be Added Up by the Violent Femmes off the Tony Hawk's Underground 2 soundtrack.
Yes! That,
the start of that song, the day after day, it just draws you in slowly. And then the pace starts moving and you start going. And by the end of the song, it is a full-blown punk song. But it starts out mellow and it catches your attention and you don't know what it is. But by the end of it, you're like, holy cow, did that blow my mind? What is going on? And for me, I didn't even realize it was the same band that sang Blister in the Sun when I found that out. I thought it was two different bands. So I am going to go with that. Added Up by the Violent Femmes.
Added up, day after day. Love it. Yes. And the Violent Femmes are one of those bands that a lot of people sadly only know for Blister in the Sun. And I love Blister in the Sun. Colburn and Company has been performing that since day one. Because I'll tell you, it doesn't matter the room you're in. Doom, 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 doom. People light up. And the smile and joy you see on their face, whether it's people from that grew up in the 80s, that grew up with the original run, or 90s kids grew up with the song through its inclusion in My So-Called Life when Claire Danes was dancing around to it, it brought the song back a decade later and made it iconic for a whole new generation. So the fact that they touched on something deeper in the catalog, again, from that self-titled album, but still a classic song, anything that you could do to point to the Violent Femmes music, I think is a plus. And I'm so glad you did that. I had a song I thought would end the side. However, now that you took it to Violent Femmes territory, I'm going to switch it up and save the song I was thinking about putting here, maybe putting that for side two, because Following up the Violent Femmes, I have a song on my list that's just ideal. From Tony Hawk's Project 8, I'm going to go back to 1988. And sadly, we just lost the alternative country icon, Mojo Nixon. And if you don't have Mojo Nixon, then your store could use some fixing. From 1988's Beelzebubba, Dead Milkmen, Punk Rock Girl to close out side A. I'm just thinking about the ending of that song. Just you and and me, punk rocker. Like, just to close out this side.
Perfection.
I have the biggest smile on my face right now. You can't. The Violent Femmes and Dead Milkmen, if you are listening to this, please do a tour together. How friggin' amazing would those two be on a lineup together?
Oh, it would be one of the better shows I've seen in my life. But that song, oh God, I remember playing Project 8, and I remember my cousin had it. We were camping, and I borrowed it from him. And I was like, I haven't played this one yet. Can I borrow your copy? And he's like, sure, take it home. And I remember playing the game, and you go through and you unlock characters. And I remember there's one female skater in the whole game. And that woman is married to Travis Pastrana now, fun fact. But in her skate video to bring her entrance into the game, they use Punk Rock Girl. And I was like, what is this song? Who is this band? And it got me hooked on them. And that song burned into my head. And the first thing I saw when Mojo Nixon did pass was, that's the first thing I heard was, your snort on, I ain't got Mojo Nixon, and then your store could use some fixing. It's burned into my head, but that whole song is full of just classic fun lines about talking about stolen cars, going to dinner with parents that dislike you. It's such a fun song and a perfect ending. Brian, you killed that one.
Well, I appreciate it. And I do want to throw out there, if you're a fan of the original, Diesel Boy does an incredible cover of this song on their album, Sofa King Cool. Say it fast enough, you'll figure it out. Came out in 1999. They do a Full Throttle punk version of this song.
Okay.
Guns blazing, amped up the energy. So it's a totally different vibe than the original, but you could tell how much they love the Dead Milkmen in their version. So definitely worth checking out. And there you have it, folks. Side A of the ultimate Tony Hawk Pro Skater mixtape, which consists of CKY's 96 Quite Bitter Beings, Flogging Molly's Drunken Lullabies, Bad Brains' Band in DC, The Bouncing Souls' Mantham, Black Flag's Rise Above, Social Distortion's Reach for the Sky, Dead Kennedys' Police Struck, Taking Back Sunday's Suburban Home, I Like Food, Violent Femmes' Added Up, and Dead Milkmen's Punk Rock Girl. Head over to myweeklymixtape.com to hear all the songs we've discussed in this mix through the playlist embedded on the episode page. So, Tom, we really brought the punk for side A of this Tony Hawk Pro Skater mixtape, man.
Yeah, it is a killer side. That is one of those that, you know, SST used to do all these compilations of all these songs, you know, back in the day. That is what that reminds me of, is just a couple songs from this, couple songs from that, and you just enjoy it no matter what, front to back.
Now, from doing my research on these soundtracks and going through all of them, I know that Tony Hawk does have stuff outside of punk. So I think to start off side B, I'm going to veer us a little bit away from punk, because the beautiful thing about a mixtape, one side could be one thing and one side can be a completely different story. And what I'm going to do is start off with something that was featured on Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1+2 soundtrack.
Okay.
And it came out in 1991 on two separate albums by two different bands that I was a huge fan of. Two different bands from two completely different genres. Two different bands that I didn't know if it would work when I read that this song was forthcoming. And in 1991, Anthrax and Public Enemy blew my friggin' mind by covering Public Enemy's Bring the Noise for Anthrax's 1991 compilation Attack of the Killer Bees, as well as Public Enemy's Apocalypse 91, The Enemy Strikes Black album. This song to me was a game changer. Yes, I understand that Run DMC and Aerosmith's Walk This Way came first. But I truly believe that this collaboration and the collaboration of Aerosmith and Run DMC are what helped birth nu metal. I don't think you get bands like Limp Bizkit if you don't get this collaboration and Aerosmith and Run DMC. This collaboration to me is an important moment in music, And I mean, come on, how better to kick off a side with bass? How low could you go? Let's go right into side B, Anthrax and Public Enemy. Bring the noise.
So for me, awesome song. Love Anthrax, love Scott Ian. I mean, they are one of the four pioneers of thrash metal with Metallica, Slayer, and Megadeth. And you don't get any better, but you also have Public Enemy. And Public Enemy had been featured before in a Tony Hawk game, but it wasn't really quote unquote in the game. It was the menu music, but it was by the time I get to Arizona, you know, that's burned into my head. So you get two fantastic, super huge bands at the time, and they do this together, and the song just pounds. I mean, there is nothing bad about that, from Scott Ian playing his mind off in that song. And like you said, Chuck D just having fun with it. It is a perfect kickoff song. This is going to be a tough follow-up, Brian. I had one in my wheelhouse I was going to start with, and that is a curveball here. Okay, let's take a look. Well, if we're going to go iconic hard riffs, this is tough because there is two songs right here that I could pick and they would both kind of fit. But I'm going to go with the latter. And I'm going to start off with one of my favorite bands, and that would be Motley Crue. And the song is Livewire off the Tony Hawk American Wasteland soundtrack. This song is my favorite Motley Crue song. The Mick Mars just bring in hard guitar riff to start it off. And then the cowbell at the end of the song just chiming it all up. It fits the hard driving. You have the high vocals. And it's not necessarily a metal. It's more of like a hair metal. So it's a little bit peaceful. And I figure we can get a good run out of this, maybe transact into something different.
All right. That riff, again, that's an iconic riff. You don't get a future of Motley Crue without this song. This song is one of the pieces that really helped launch their career. It's Mick Mars doing what he does best. And I'll just say, I don't know if I'd want to see it live anymore.
It was not good when I saw it live. It was not good.
I love Motley Crue. Let me be very clear. I love Motley Crue. I grew up with them. Dr. Feelgood was an iconic album for me at a time when I was discovering music for myself. It's hard to justify dropping hundreds of dollars to hear Vince not do the songs justice. I like being positive on this show, so I'm trying to find a way. Let's just put it this way. Go on YouTube and look up Kickstart My Heart live with subtitles, and you'll see what Tom has seen live in concert as of recent. But the song, incredible. And if you're a country music fan listening, I highly suggest you look up the Cadillac Threes cover of Livewire that came out in 2014 when Motley Crue did the Nashville Outlaws album. They do a southern swamp country rock version of Livewire, and they completely flip the song on its ear, and it actually works. I friggin' love it. It feels like two different songs back to back, and that to me is a good cover.
Brian, you blow my mind with these covers. Every time you give me something new and I look it up and I'm like, he knows what he's talking about. I mean, from the Madonna cover by H2O, I mean, that has been one of my favorite songs. And now to this, you do this to me and now I have a whole covers playlist because of your show. So add it to the list now.
There you go. And I'll even throw one more on top of there with my next song. The cover I'm going to mention right now, I'll just say the band name that covers it, Drain STH. They were around in the 90s. They're like a female answer to Alice in Chains. However, the song I'm going with, I'm going to tap into the energy of Bring the Noise and Livewire, and we're going to go with another iconic monster riff, another legendary band, and I'm going to go back to Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3. And we're going to go with the legendary Lemmy Motorhead 1980s Ace of Spades. to me, I was actually thinking about closing side A with this song, and it would have worked. I know Motorhead's not a punk band, but they are a metal band with punk all put together. It's Lemmy. He could do whatever the hell he wants. He could call Motorhead a polka band, and you'd be like, you're right. It is. I'll take it. It's fine. Motorhead is the epitome of what I love about rock and roll. And the Ace of Spades is just a legendary rock song, period. No matter the game, no matter the genre, all genres, hard rock, metal, punk, they all look to bands like Motorhead for an inspiration. And the fact that you could inspire multiple genres makes you a legend. And it's Lemmy. Gotta be on the list.
I am so glad you picked that as the follow-up, because that was the song I was torn with Livewire. I didn't know.
Really?
That was the two songs. I was going back and forth, and I said, you know what? Ace of Spades would be a great follow-up, because that bass riff, it just eats at you. But the Livewire guitar riff will get people from Anthrax. It'll tone it down just a little bit, but it's that sweet spot. But here we go. You know, you're putting that car in fourth gear, and you're just pounding on the gas now. Here we go. Oh, God, such a good choice. But now this is where it gets fun, and I know exactly where I am going out of this. And that song is one of my personal favorites, and it is the opening theme to Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 4, and that is TNT by AC/DC. I hear this song, and I want to run through a brick wall. The opening video for Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 4 uses this song, and it just still blows my mind how well it was done. But this is the first AC/DC song I remember, and I loved it ever since. And it is a perfect follow-up to the Ace of Spades.
One of my first favorite bands, AC/DC, 1976 is High Voltage. As a kid, I just remember being three and vividly remember being 3 and 4 years old, like the toddler. We'd go over my aunt's house, and my cousin would always be rocking AC/DC. And I always asked him to put on the Oi, Oi, Oi song. And he would put it on, and I would just start stomping around the room. Just Oi, Oi. And I loved this song. I am so happy you put it into this mix. The first time I saw them play it live, I'm literally sitting there with my buddies, and you've got our hands up in the air, and we're like this. And then I'm kind of like, is somebody cutting on you? Like, because it's just such a childhood memory. It's so important to me. Hearing it live for the first time was almost otherworldly. It sent me to a different place. So yeah, I welled up during TNT. At me. I don't care.
That is fair. That is fair. It is one of the greatest songs, in my personal opinion, from this whole Tony Hawk series stretching 11, 12 games. I mean, this is top five, people. You can't not put this on the list.
And following up a band as iconic as AC/DC is not easy. But I think if I go up to Tony Hawk's Underground 2, I can make that happen. This song turned, oh God, I can't believe, 40 years old last year. Came out in 1983. And kind of cut from the same cloth of Motley Crue. And I'm talking riff-wise here, Motorhead, AC/DC. We're going to add a little bit of thrash to this. And we're going to go off of 83's Kill 'Em All, Metallica, Whiplash. Yes, it's thrash. But again, just looking at these songs back to back to back to back, this just works. Acting Like a Maniac. To me, this is bringing the other side of the punk side. While it's not punk, there's still that punk energy and that punk atmosphere in these songs, even though they're rock and metal. I feel like the spirit from side A is really coming over into side B here.
I feel like you're also reading my mind, Brian, because it's like, I want to use this song, but I don't know how it's going to work. And as soon as I name one, you pick the song that I was going to pick against it. So perfect, because Whiplash is on the list. And I was like, man, I don't know where we're going to work Whiplash in, because you got to have Metallica on this list. And I mean, we could put all our effort into thrash. We could put all our effort into like glam. It's a good throughway. God. So now that has me questioning, where do I go from here?
Do you palate cleanse and switch everything up for the second half of the side? Or do you continue down this road?
I would love to continue down this road, but there is a song that I want to include here, and it's going to slow things down, but it's still a heavy anthem. And to me, this is a very, how can I put this? A very kind of important song to me, an important band. And that band is Billy Talent. And this is going to come off the Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 remastered. And that song is Afraid of Heights. It's a little bit slower, still very aggressive, but this band I got to see last summer for the first time in my life. I've been a fan for 15 years, and I had a very similar moment to what you had with TNT by AC/DC. But it is Canadian at its finest. It is a Canadian pop metal band, I guess you can say. They, you know, are not super hard, but it is enough to kind of slow it down, but not throw the person off that's listening to this mixtape. They might go, okay, it's a little bit slower, but I like it.
And I think Jason Whistle from the It's Not That Bad, There Can Only Be One podcast is smiling right now because we're bringing in the Canada element into this mixtape. And I love where you went with this because coming out of Metallica, it's definitely, it's not a 180. I'd say it's like a 155-ish. Like, you're still in that range, but you're dialing it back a little bit. And that gives me something that I could really work with. And when I hear Benjamin Kowalewicz's vocals in Billy Talent, it also reminds me of something that I grew up with that I think is the next place we could take this. And I'm going to dial it back a little bit more with a band that I think is extremely iconic and one of the most underrated groups in my lifetime. A band that, yes, they sell out arenas, but I still think even at that level, musically, they're underrated because they've done so much over their career. It's really hard to put them into a musical bucket. You could say, yes, they're heavy, but they're also, they could do these brooding ballads that just rip your heart out and show it to you. And I'm going to go to Tony Hawk's Underground 2, and I'm going to go with 1992's Angel Dust, Faith No More, Midlife Crisis. Let's get a little tribal here. Let's get a groove going. Let's switch things up a lot. But this is a song that, make no mistake about it, it's heavy, but it's very brooding. And that tribal beat brings this different flair to what we've done. And look, Disturbed covered this song because it's such a huge influence on them. Faith No More can do songs like Dig in the Grave. This is on the following album, King for a Day, Fool for a Lifetime, which is just basically screaming bloody murder metal, and follow it up with a gut-wrenching song called Take This Bottle, which is kind of like an old school, almost outlaw country track. Angel Dust is a weird, twisted, heavy, powerful album. And Midlife Crisis has always been a favorite of mine because I could put it on so many different mixtapes, and every one, people look at me and go, "What? How did this get?" Because it's just so unique. There's no way to put it into a bucket. And I'm doing that tonight with this mixtape because really, where do you put this song? It belongs everywhere and nowhere at the same time. So Faith No More's Midlife Crisis.
Brian, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I know the song. It's not one of my favorites. I'm not a huge Faith No More fan, but you're right. There's nowhere else on this list that you can slow it down and kind of turn to a sort of heavy song, but you're not going to kill your audience with it. It's one of those songs that if it comes on, you're not going to skip. I know I'm not going to skip it, but it's not something I would search out for. And that's kind of like my next song, that you opened the door for this song, and I didn't see anywhere on this list this song could work until now. And it's one of my favorite Queens of the Stone Age song. It's The Lost Art of Keeping a Secret, and that is off the Tony Hawk's Ride soundtrack. So not a very well-known Tony Hawk game, and not a very well-known Queens of the Stone Age song, but it just, one of those songs that piques your attention. You go, what is that? I like that song. And it gets you thinking. And it's not like threes and sevens. It's not like No One Knows. And it's just a totally different song, but it's, you know, a great, great just beat all the way through. Josh Hyme's voice is fantastic through it. And the lyrics, if you listen to it, tell a pretty fun story. And the music video is pretty good to go along with it. So overall, thank you for opening the door to put this song in here, because it is one of my personal favorites.
This was the song that introduced me to Queens of the Stone Age. I know a lot of people that got introduced to them because of No One Knows, like you mentioned, and the Dave Grohl connection with that album. But this one was big when I was in college at the College Station. Then it made the move with me into radio. And I kind of saw this band grow from this album. And it is my favorite song from Rated R. And I couldn't agree more. Coming out of midlife crisis, it's just perfect. The two songs back to back, as weird as it is, work so well together. And here I am now regretting the fact that I said that Faith No More's Midlife Crisis could fit everywhere and nowhere at the same time, because The Lost Art of Keeping a Secret, it's perfect.
It's just such a weird song for Queens of the Stone Age. It's not, you know, if you listen to their self-titled album, it sounds like anything on that album. But you listen to, you know, Songs for the Deaf and, you know, Era Vulgaris, anything after that, it sounds nothing like that. And it just, it has such a sound that you have to listen to Rated R and you have to listen to that song to understand the sound of it. And it's the perfect match. I mean, it just works so well.
So now I have a conundrum, Tom, because the song that I'm going to pick is, it's, this is my last choice of the night. And I've never played the game, but I know that if I don't talk about this song, I'm doing this game a disservice, because this is the song that I associate most with the game. However, this is a record scratch, what the hell just happened moment on this mixtape, because we are going from Queens of the Stone Age's The Lost Art of Keeping a Secret into Goldfinger's Superman from Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, 1997's Hang Ups. Yes, on paper, going from Queens of the Stone Age into a ska song with horns doesn't make sense, but we're talking about Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. And every time I've ever heard this video game mentioned, the first thing I hear somebody say is, oh, Goldfinger, Superman. Like, they're almost synonymous with each other. I'm guessing it's, quote unquote, the unofficial theme song of the franchise. And it, I will say, it has been mentioned in the top 10 list of most memorable and best licensed songs in video games. So to me, you got to go with Superman if we're talking Tony Hawk.
I mean, 100%. And if we did do it an injustice by not putting it on this playlist until the end. And I felt like we were kind of playing chicken with each other on that one, to be quite honest with you. It's just a song that everybody knows. And like I said, you hear that and the, you know, the do-do-do-do, everybody knows that beat. I mean, it takes nothing, but that song, I mean, that song blew that band up. That band was a huge ska band, and same with like Less Than Jake and all that around that time. But that song made that band, and Goldfinger's been there ever since. And it's a fun band for me. It's always, I'm a huge ska guy, so it's one of those bands and one of those songs that everyone knows and everyone loves truly.
Seeing it live to me was a transcendent experience. It's just so much fun. I'm not a dancer. I mean, I am not a dancer. My wife always jokes at the fact that the night we met was at a dance club, because I am the world's worst dancer. I am not even like the Hitch level, keep it tight in the center. I suck. And when Goldfinger was playing Superman, I was skanking with everybody in that room as if my life depended on it and having such a blast. It was like the Humpty dance I was doing up there, but it worked and I was having a blast. I know you like cover songs. I have to point it out. Mark Herrera, who does play bass on and off now in Goldfinger, so depending on how MXPX and Goldfinger's tours line up, he does an acoustic cover that I'll embed on the episode page at myweeklymixtape.com. It is gorgeous. It's just him and an acoustic guitar, flips the song on its side, and it brings the heart of the song out. And you don't realize how powerful the lyrics are in this song until you hear this version. It's actually It's friggin' beautiful. Mark Herrera's cover of it. So I hope I didn't take the wind out of your sail. I hope you said we were playing chicken with it. I hope that wasn't the one that you were looking to put a cherry on and I just blew your whole game up here.
Yes and no, but the good thing is you have two different branches of which way you want to go with this. Like I said, we were playing chicken with it. I knew it was going to come up. Fantastic choice, but this leaves me with closing this out. So this is what I'm going to roll with. It's one of those songs that, for me, I enjoy, and it's a good closer. And that would be from Tony Hawk's Shred, but a personal favorite of mine. It's Be Quiet and Drive Far Away by the Deftones.
Yes.
A perfect closer. You're driving away. The tape is ending. You've had your fun. Fantastic song. I know we talked about nu metal at the beginning of the list with the Public Enemy Anthrax cover. We're going to put Deftones at the end because they're quote unquote a nu metal band, even though they hate the title of it. But just overall, just a real mellow song to ride you off in the sunset. And the problem was, I was torn here, Brian. I could have went with that or the song that I was thinking about choosing, and that's Los Angeles by Frank Black.
Ooh. Well, you know, at the end of side B, the tape flips back over if you had the automatic flip. And I think Be Quiet and Drive flips into 96 Quite Bitter Beings quite well.
It's a good match. It really is a good start over match.
It's kind of leading you right back into side A if you want to relive the entire playlist. And it also, like you said, brings the Anthrax Public Enemy full circle for just side B's story. So I applaud the pick. And there you have it, folks. Side B of our ultimate Tony Hawk Pro Skater mixtape, which kicked off with Anthrax and Public Enemy's Bring the Noise, Motley Crue's Livewire, Motorhead's Ace of Spades, ACDC's TNT, Metallica's Whiplash, Billy Talent's Afraid of Heights, Faith No More's Midlife Crisis, Queens of the Stone Age's The Lost Art of Keeping a Secret, Goldfinger's Superman, and Deftones' Be Quiet and Drive Far Away. Head over to myweeklymixtape.com to hear all the songs we've discussed in this mix through the playlist embedded on the episode page. Tom, this has been an absolute blast. First and foremost, thank you so much for being a part of the Patreon Mixtaper family. And more importantly, thanks for joining me on the show tonight. Look forward to having you back very soon. Tonight was a lot of fun.
Absolutely, Brian. It has been a pleasure to get to do this. I have had a lot of fun with this. And I think this mixtape, for lack of a better term, is going to kick ass.
Amen. And remember, mixtapers, you can find My Weekly Mixtape on all the social media haunts at My Weekly Mixtape. You can also head to myweeklymixtape.com to check out the full catalog of My Weekly Mixtape episodes. And if you like what you're hearing on the show, you can help me out by either telling a friend or multiple friends, leaving the show a 5-star review wherever you're tuning in, or like Tom, becoming a Patreon mixtaper at patreon.com/myweeklymixtape. That's all for this week. Thanks again for listening. And until next time, enjoy the tunes.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.